Welcome to Trinity Dallas. We pray that this message will be a source of encouragement and hope in your life today. Enjoy today's message.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Good morning, good morning. It's great to see all of you here at Trinity Church. A lot of visiting fellowship going on. A lot of good things. There's a really good spirit in the room today. How about the worship this morning? That last song, there was just an anointing on that. Isn't that powerful? Well, we are, as Pastor Joe mentioned, we're starting a series about Advent. Let us adore him. We're starting that series today. The first message is entitled Hope. We're going to talk about what does it mean to have hope as a Christian? Now, hope in the world around us, if you're in the business world, there's a famous saying right now that hope is not a strategy. That in the business world, you shouldn't be hoping about your plan for the next quarter or the next year, that you should have a strategy for that. And hope in the Christian sense, in the biblical sense, has nothing to do with maybe the way you and I think about hope, where we cross our fingers and think, oh, I hope this happens. That's not at all what the word hope in the biblical sense means. Hope means this, that we understand that Jesus has already come in the manger as a baby. Jesus came. Jesus has died on the cross for our sins, but we also know that Jesus is coming a second time. We have hope in that. But then we also know that Jesus is a present reality today. Now, that's a very different definition of hope than what we traditionally think about when we think about hope as maybe this will happen. But in the sense that we're going to talk about it, in the sense of Advent, hope means the bedrock understanding that Jesus has come, he is coming, and he's with us today. So the word Advent means this arrival. It means that the Messiah has arrived. He's arrived. Advent is a time in the traditional church and more of the liturgical church on the church calendar, and actually the church calendar starts today, the start of Advent, where people would begin to look forward to the second coming of Christ, recognizing that Christ has already come, but also looking forward to his second coming. It was a four-week time of celebration, of sometimes fasting, of when the early church would prepare itself to celebrate Christmas. It was a time of preparation in before the coming of Christmas. Now, the early church did this with such power, such anointing, such passion, that Advent began to set them apart from the rest of the world. They observed Advent and celebrated Advent in such a way that the rest of the world noticed that something different was going on with these people called Christians. Something so significantly different that people said, hey, I would kind of like to get in on that. Especially the end game, which is Christmas, when you guys have this big feast and it's just this amazing time of gift giving and celebration and joy. They celebrated Advent so well that today the rest of the world knows about Christmas because of our early Christian brothers and sisters celebrating Advent in such a way that it drew the rest of the world to this idea of a Messiah coming in a manger, dying on the cross for our sins and setting us free and giving us a hope for the future. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be celebrating Advent together. Here's what Advent means basically for us today. Advent is about the people of God understanding the present time. Understanding the present time in which we live. Our scripture for this morning is Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. Let me read this for you, and it'll give you a context for where we're headed today. The Apostle Paul writing to the Roman church, he says this, "And doing this, understanding the present time, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because your salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not carousing in drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in indecision and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ and do nothing out of gratifying the desires of the flesh. So the Apostle Paul writes this letter to the Roman church, and really what Paul is saying here is that Advent people are people of the dawn. Think about dawn for just a moment. It's that very early part of the day. How many of you are morning people in here? Raise your hands. Okay, I don't like you. Morning people. My father was a morning person. He loved to get up very early. My mother's here. She's laughing. My dad loved to get up very early in the morning. He would take my brothers and I. We'd go hunting in West Texas. And so we would get there. We would get into our hunting situation hours before the sun would come up. And it would be freezing cold. And we were waiting for the dawn, praying, my brothers, praying for the dawn, for the sunlight to come out and warm us up. But when it did, you could just see a slither of the sun, just maybe glimpses of color starting to break through. And you knew the day was coming, but it was dawn. It hasn't yet come, but you know what's about to happen. That's a good illustration of what Advent is like. Advent, what we're saying in this season for the next 4 weeks is that we know the Messiah has come. We know that dawn has already happened. We're in the dawn, that the Messiah has come and revealed himself. Though the full light of the kingdom is not yet here, but just like when you're in dawn, you know that the day is coming. That's the way the people of Advent live. That's the way that the early church fathers and people of the early church lived, in such a way of anticipating God doing something new. Also in this passage in Romans 13, Paul says this: the night is nearly over and the day is almost here. The night is nearly over, the time of darkness is nearly over, and the day, the bright gleaming of the message of Christ is very near. And it's coming. It's here, but it's also coming in fullness. So on this first Sunday of Advent, this first message of Advent, I'm going to light what's called the Advent candle, or a candle that represents the hope that Jesus gives us in the gospel. So if this works, we're going to light this candle. I think it's going. Yeah, there it goes. Okay, awesome. So what's interesting, if we could bring the lights down for just a moment, when a candle is lit in a room, it provides kind of a unique atmosphere, doesn't it? There's an atmosphere that is very much different from what you might experience in the office with your fluorescent lights. It's just a totally different atmosphere. Without the candle, maybe it's an atmosphere of no hope. If it's dark and there's no candle, it's just darkness. But the moment that you're in a room that's dark and a candle is lit, it changes everything. It penetrates the entire room. The darkness can't hold it back, even though it's just a very small light initially. But it can't be contained by the darkness. And so the first time, this first day of Advent, this first Sunday, we light this candle, and it represents the type of people that we're called to be. A people that are filled with hope. A people that know that we're looking forward to something better than what we're experiencing now. A people that are anticipating the birth of Christ, not the celebration of the birth of Christ, but we do it and it changes the way we live, just like this candle changes the atmosphere of the room. Okay, if we can bring the lights back up so I can see my notes, that would be helpful. So, three realities about hope I want to share with you this morning. Three realities about hope. Number one, we can understand the present time. The writers of the scriptures want us to understand the time in which we live. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Roman church and really addressing us even to today, he wants us to know that we can understand the times. And that's really what Advent is about. Advent is understanding that Christmas is coming. Advent is being aware that the Messiah has come and he is coming, but there's a present reality of the Messiah with us right now, and we begin to live differently as the people of Advent. We begin to live differently from the rest of the culture as we prepare for this thing called Christmas. So in the early church, they were familiar with suffering and pain. Obviously, when Jesus came, it didn't remove those things from the early church. The Romans were very aware of suffering and pain. And when Paul wrote this letter to the Romans, of course, Rome was the land of the Colosseum. They built this amazing structure to go watch people kill themselves. And they did it as entertainment. And later on in Roman history, it was the Christians who were put in the Colosseum. And many Christians were killed as a form of entertainment in Rome. So they were well acquainted with suffering and death and pain, even though Jesus has already come. This phrase, the present time, it's not just for the first century. It's not just for the Romans. It's also, fortunately, for us in the modern day church. We often think about seasons and seasons of pain and difficulty, and we've just come through one, haven't we, with COVID that's happened over the past several years. And across the globe, we've gone through a time of pain, difficulty, and struggle together. Everybody is aware of what happened during the age, what's now being called the age of COVID, which is still raging in certain parts of the world. But if we even look at the news today and look at what's happening around us just here in America and even in our own city, we can see, we watch the news reports coming from Ukraine, and we can see what's happening in the war there. And with winter coming on, it's particularly difficult as you see the images of children roaming the streets whose parents have been killed in the war and they have no caretaker. And we see certain cities in Ukraine that don't have any power and the temperatures are dropping and they're trying to, how are we going to survive this? There's tremendous suffering taking place all across Ukraine. And even in our own country, we look in America over the past few years from 2020 through 2021, in just 2 years, over 200,000 Americans have poisoned themselves to death with opioids. We live in the most prosperous country in the world, and really a great time to live, but there's such despair around us that our brothers and sisters, many of them take their own life by choosing to take a poison, thinking that maybe it will help relieve a pain, but it ends up doing just the opposite. And then we look at the dramatic rise of depression, anxiety, and sleeplessness in America at rates that we've never seen before. There is a sense of hopelessness that has captured our culture, a sense of the candle is out. And in some ways, many people feel like there's no hope. And the only thing I have to turn to is this drug, or the only thing I have going on is some type of anxiety, some type of depression. And it's in this moment that Jesus is calling us to be people of the Advent, people of the light, people filled with hope, people that understand the present time. The early church was very familiar with difficulty and suffering, just like we are, but they were aware of this. They were anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit, and they were well aware of the presence of the resurrected Jesus in their lives. And so though they lived in Rome in the shadow of the Colosseum and all the dysfunction and difficulty that was happening, they lived differently. And it's the same for us today, 2,000 years removed from that time in a much different culture, though in some ways very similar. We are called to be a people that live so differently that people recognize Christmas must be coming. We're called to have such a different spirit upon us that people around us recognize there's a new season that's about. That's why the trees have the lights on them. And we look around and there's a different atmosphere around Christmas, as well there should be, because we're anticipating a great celebration. The second truth or reality about hope is this. Through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we can live as though Christ has already returned. Wouldn't that be a peculiar people? A people who are living as though Jesus has already returned. The Apostle Paul uses this imagery of waking up when he's writing to the church. He's writing to the church. He says, it's time for you to wake up. He's writing to people who have maybe become spiritually lethargic, spiritually asleep to the blessings that they've already received through Christ. And so Paul is encouraging them to wake up. He's asking individual Christians in Rome to remember your water baptism. Remember the decision you made for Christ and you were water baptized. Now, I remember as a boy in the seventh grade, I was water baptized, and it was during the winter time, and the heater had broken in the baptistry and the water was freezing. So I'll never forget my baptism because it was so cold, I physically was jolted by it, but spiritually changed. Paul says, remember that. Paul also says, remember that you have communion with Christ, that every time you and I take communion, that Jesus is a present reality with us. He's presently with us. And then he also says this, he wants Christians to remember their inheritance. Remember that we have a great inheritance in Christ. Here's the way the Apostle Paul puts it in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 17 through 23. He says this, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength which he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, in every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head of everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Paul is reminding us of our identity, reminding not only the early church, but reminding us today of the inheritance that we have in Jesus, that the same power that God used to raise Christ from the dead is the same power that now dwells within your soul through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now, that seems mind-blowing to me. I mean, that is absolutely incredible to realize. Paul is saying that is the power that Jesus has placed inside of each one of us. So God has invaded the old age, bringing us into the new age. The people of Christ, and we're called to live in the new age, waiting Christ's return, but we live now here at Trinity, at this church, we live as if we're already in the full light. We only have the dawn, but we're called to live as though we've been fully enlightened with the gospel, fully enlightened with the way that God thinks, fully enlightened with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. During the season of Advent, that's the way we're called to live. Next, Paul highlights in this passage, this present time, he says that we can understand it differently. We can understand that God is doing something new. And then thirdly, the last point about the reality of hope is this. The people of the light live as people in the light. The people of the light live as though we're in the light. Paul refers in this Roman passage to darkness, and he says that in the context here, there's certain things that take place in the darkness, that in the darkness, people do things that they normally wouldn't do in the light. There are certain acts that people do in the darkness that they normally would not do in the light, and he contrasts those to the things that people do in the light. Those that have the light, those that have the light of Christ act in the day. Those who don't have live in some type of darkness, and they act differently. And Paul actually lists off several of these acts in the Roman passage that we read. And the first one is this. He says, the term carousing and drunkenness, both of those terms that Paul talks about, he talks about them in the Greek in the plural. And Paul is directly referencing a banquet that every Roman in the first century would have known about. It was a banquet to the god of wine called Dionysius. And Dionysius would have these banquets, and there would be these banquets that would celebrate in Rome and all across the Roman world, where the god of wine would release this type of banquet, and you would have this wild party. When you went to this banquet, you would put on a robe. There would be a certain type of robe that you wore. You would go to this banquet. At this banquet, you could do just about any immoral act, and it was legal. It was culturally acceptable at that time, as long as you were at the banquet of Dionysius, wearing the robe, it was culturally acceptable for you to act in crazy ways and to do crazy things that even in that culture would seem strange during the day. We look at that and we think, that's kind of a cultic worship, that's strange, that's the god, this Greek god that people would worship. And as modern people, we think, well, we don't do that kind of stuff anymore. But I think Paul's saying that we still have the same struggles today. We have cultural garments that we put on. Sometimes we put on the cultural garment of, and we might phrase it this way, your truth. You hear this a lot. So that's your truth. So if you do that particular thing, it's okay because it's your truth. Despite the fact that it may be hurting a whole lot of other people. But because it's your truth, it's culturally acceptable. And so we put on the garment of Dionysius, and we end up doing very strange things that we normally wouldn't do, but we cloak it in the idea of it's your truth. Maybe think about the spirit of Christmas, the way Christmas is celebrated by the rest of the culture, where during Christmas, we put on this cultural garment and we act in crazy ways that we never would before. We spend more money than we have. We go to maybe more parties than we can go to. We compare ourselves and what we're buying against what our neighbors are doing. We look at their Christmas lights as compared to ours. And we start having all these thoughts of anxiety and stress. And we enter into the most stressful season of the year for Americans. More Americans commit suicide during Christmas than in any other time of the year. All because of this heightened anxiety and stress, this cultural garment that we put on and robe ourselves in. And for some reason, we think it's okay to run around and do all these crazy things and act this way during this season because, well, it's Christmas time and I can't escape it. When Jesus is calling us to be just the opposite, a people who slow down, a people who become filled with the joy of anticipating the celebration of Christmas, a people who begin to act within themselves, begin to act within the light of the scriptures, within the light of the gospel. Paul makes a clear distinguishing, a clear difference. These acts of darkness are different from things that we would do in the light. Those who have been baptized, who follow Jesus, who have been transformed by the gospel, we don't put on the garments of Dionysius. We don't put those garments on. In fact, we reject those garments. We put on the garments of Christ. We clothe ourselves in the armor of God, and we take on a different spirit from the rest of the world. Essentially, here's this. People of Advent, we live as though the second coming has already happened. We live as though it's already happened, as though the second coming is here. It's when Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, just as it is in heaven. We're learning how to live in heaven now. It's God's desire that the administration of heaven take place on earth. Why? Why does God desire that? Because when his administration takes place, everyone is blessed. Everyone's life is bettered. Everyone's quality of life is dramatically improved. That's why he gives us the scriptures. That's why we become people of the Advent. That's why we live in the light. Not so that we can condemn other people and say, we live better than you, or look at you, you're a sinner. Not any of that at all. But that we could live in the joy of Christ, live in the power of this anticipation for Christmas, and people would look and say, man, I'd like to have some of that. I'd like to go to the party you go to. I'd like to show up at the church you go to. I'd like to be around the people of God that are celebrating Advent the way you are. We're people of the dawn. We're people of Advent. We live in the reality of hope. Many around us, we live in the reality of what they think is hopelessness. And so they self-medicate. Many to the point where they can't breathe anymore. And yet Jesus has called us to live in the reality of a hope that's filled with life, filled with light, and filled with joy. Let me say this in closing, that as we enter into this season of Advent, that we are supposed to be a people of the dawn, a people that are so different from the rest of the world that people look and say, man, Christmas must be coming. Not because of the lights I see, and those things are great, and I think they're awesome, but because of the light that people see in us, but because of the light that people see in the church. We're supposed to cast off the ways of the world and take on the light of Christ during the season of Advent. In fact, let me make this statement. We are a community of God seekers. Here at Trinity, we're a community of God seekers who live in the reality of Christ's first coming and in hope of his second. We live in the reality of the first coming of Jesus, but we also live in the hope of his second coming. But watch this, this is very important. We live right now knowing the present reality of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. The present reality of the anointing of Holy Spirit upon our lives so that we can live in joy though our circumstances tell us not to. So that we can live empowered by God though the difficulties around us would completely keep us from living in that joy. We enter into the joy of what God's done for us despite what the world may say, despite what our circumstances may try to put upon us. Why? Because we're people of the Advent. We're people who know that Jesus has come. We're people that know that Jesus is coming. And we live in the present reality of Jesus' presence right now. We live in that power right now. So here's my challenge for you this morning. Here's my response, or what I'd like for you to consider as we start this Christmas season together. Will you be people of the Advent for the next 4 weeks? Will you be, good, there's somebody that, I got one person that's in agreement here with what we're saying. That's encouraging. It's better than nothing. Will you be people of the Advent for the next 4 weeks? Will we be that? And so if you agreed with her and said yes, how will you do it? How will you live in Advent this year? How will you step outside of our culture, which says speed up, buy more, do more, take more, be more, get more, compare yourself more, get more anxiety, get more stress? How will you move out of that and move into Advent as the Paul may encourage us to do? How will you do that? What will you start doing? And what will you stop doing? Let me give you just a few thoughts. Here's what Russell Ann and I have talked about this, and here's what we're going to do. We are going to take this little devotional, And in our morning devotional life, this is going to take over. We're going to begin to use this for the next 4 weeks, and we're going to do our morning devotion separately. But at night, when we gather the family, we're going to come together and we're going to talk about the devotional. What's God saying to us? What's God calling us to do differently this year that maybe we've never done before? How's God calling us to celebrate Christmas differently this year? So we're going to use this little devotion. I want to encourage you. You can order this. It'll come to you quickly. And we want to make sure that you're a part of that. And then also, if you have children, I've got one other really good idea for you. You might want to consider using the Bible Project this year. So the Bible Project has an Advent series that you can participate in. You can go on if your kids don't maybe enjoy reading the scriptures maybe in the traditional way, maybe you could trick them by watching an Advent video together. Not trick them. But they're a great resource. I want to encourage you to take a part of the resource that's available through the Bible Project. You can learn, for example, this week about the word hope. Where did it come from in the Hebrew? What does it mean in the Greek? How powerful is it today? And what does the message of hope mean for us here in the modern day church? Well, would you do me a favor? Would you stand to your feet with me? As you're standing, let's pray together as a church before we dismiss. Father, we come to you this morning, and Lord, I thank you for the message of hope that you've given us. Lord, we come to adore you. We come to bring you adoration. We come to magnify you. We come to serve you. Lord Jesus, this Christmas season as we begin, may we be a people that live so focused on the second coming, so focused on the present reality of Jesus, that it changes the pace of our life. Father, that we're praying that we would enter into a new rhythm, out of the rhythm that we've been in, into a holy rhythm that's in sync with what you're doing as you prepare us to celebrate Christmas. Lord, I'm asking that this year as a church, that we would do this all together as a people, that your Spirit would so move upon us during this Advent series, that we would think differently, that we would live as people of the light, that we'd recognize we're in the dawn, but the day is coming, where the fullness of all that the kingdom has to offer will be revealed. Lord, let us live in that light. Let us be a people who celebrate you with such joy and peace that the people around us, it's a gift to them. It's a blessing that's attractional, that draws them to the message of Jesus. Father, we love you. We commit ourselves this year to be people of the Advent. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Hey, before we dismiss, just a quick reminder that angel tree, your angel, we need it next week, December the 4th. That's our last Sunday to collect the angel. Thank you so much. Have a great Christmas season.
Thank you for tuning in today. If you'd like to dive deeper into today's message, go to trinitydallas.com/sermons to receive your copy of the notes. If today's message encouraged you, do someone else a favor and share it with them. Also, be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. A special shout out to all those who partner with us through their giving. Your contributions have enabled us to touch the lives of people in our community, as well as around the globe. Visit us at trinitydallas.com/give to partner with what God is doing through Trinity Dallas.